Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk about sports. In today's episode, we are going to break down the Angels' win in front of the first full capacity crowd at Angel Stadium since the 2019 season. And then we're going to answer all of your questions in our usual Friday fan mailbag. But before we get into the episode, as usual, if you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94. You can find the podcast at Locked On Angels. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you have not done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Friday. Hope you're doing well. Hope you enjoyed watching an Angels game with a large crowd in attendance. I believe they announced it was 30,000 fans or so. It wasn't quite full capacity, but more than we have seen since late in the 2019 season. It was definitely a sight to be seen. So we're going to dive into all of that in the episode. We do have a lot of questions for the mailbag today, so I'm not going to spend too much time talking about the game. So I'm going to try to do as quick of a recap as I possibly can, which, granted, is kind of difficult because Shohei Ohtani was on the mound. So why don't we get right into it? Full disclosure, I am recording this at the very end of the game, and that is a pretty big risk on my part because the Angels bullpen has not done very well recently, and they're only up 7-4 in the ninth inning. So I am running the risk, but I presume that they're going to hold on to this by the time comes out. So lots happened in this game. I mean, before the game even starts, it's already a big event. Angel Stadium, full capacity crowds. The restrictions were uplifted basically throughout California this past week. So Angel Stadium allowed full capacity, no restriction crowds, just like Dodger Stadium did a few days ago. Petco Park did the same thing on Thursday night. And it was definitely fun to see. And the fact that Shohei Ohtani was on the mound as well, it was the YouTube game of the week. I mean, it had all of these different fun elements. And this game did not disappoint. And it ended up being a very different game than the way it started, because this was Shohei Ohtani's game. He got a 2-0 lead pretty early on in this game in the second inning. A couple of RBI singles from David Fletcher and Luis Renjifo brought in two runs. And Ohtani kind of held on to that lead for most of the game up until the sixth inning, when he allowed a solo home run to Jonathan Scope. But Ohtani himself had a really, really strong game. Maybe not quite as good as we've seen recently for him on the mound, but I mean, in terms of stuff. But if you look at the actual numbers, six innings pitched, five hits, one run, five strikeouts, and a walk. At the plate, he had multiple walks on the night and just continues to show a very, very good eye at the plate. And again, this was not the crispest performance on the mound for Shohei Ohtani, but one run allowed in six innings is something the Angels are going to take every single day. And you look at the stats right now. I mean, these are just stupid. Again, it's just another reminder of how insane Shohei Ohtani is. As a hitter this year, 257 plate appearances, 19 home runs, 10 stolen bases. He's been worth 2.3 wins above replacement. His league adjusted weighted runs created plus is 161. It's truly remarkable. On the mound, 2.70 ERA. He's striking at about 33% of opposing hitters, a 176 batting average against, 1.2 wins above replacement in 53 1/3 innings. So Ohtani leaves this game with a 2-1 lead in the sixth inning, going into the seventh inning, I should say. And Tony Watson comes in and allows a leadoff double, is able to get out of it. The Angels offense explodes in the bottom of the inning. Jose Iglesias pinch hit RBI single. Taylor Ward hits a mammoth grand slam to left center field, the first hit he's ever had with the bases loaded. Angel Stadium erupts in pandemonium. Just awesome. Just great stuff to see. I mean, this was the defining moment of the night, especially considering how the Tigers came back in this game. They scored three more runs in the eighth inning and made this game very interesting, sending the tying run up to the plate in the ninth inning. But ultimately, the Angels were able to hold on, take the victory. Definitely a big win for the Angels, and just so many fun storylines from this game. And once again, just awesome to see a lot of fans at Angel Stadium. It's really, again, it's a testament to how far we have come as a society to get to this point in the past year or so. So I think this is all I've really got for the game. Like I mentioned, there are a ton of questions that I would like to get into, and I don't really want to cut short on these. So I'm going to get right into these questions. So let's go starting from just the top. And first question is from Kendall asking, has your opinion on signing Dylan Bundy to an extension changed due to the stretch he is going through, or do you think he'll revert back to his 2020 form? So after his poor start earlier this week, I sent out a tweet essentially saying that I was very, very firmly in the camp of extending Dylan Bundy before the season. And it's pretty clear that multiple months into the season, that opinion was wrong. And I will take full credit for that. I mean, I was a big believer in a lot of the things that Dylan Bundy was showing. And it's interesting because Bundy made these pretty significant changes last year that you were hoping were going to carry over. I mean, he was a guy that was only throwing 90 miles per hour. So the margin for error was definitely smaller, but he started to tap into some of his potential, throwing more off speed and breaking balls, locating his pitches better, not allowing a ton of home runs for the first time in his career. It all looked great. He was still young. He had the durability aspect going for him. And in hindsight, we're looking at a guy that only had, I don't even remember how many innings he had last year, but 12 starts. It's still a small number. And even though I definitely believed in some of the things that he was showing, it's still a small sample. That makes it really difficult to predict what he's going to do moving forward. And to be honest, I mean, I did not expect him to be maybe necessarily at that same level, but I also didn't expect him to be one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. So yeah, I think my opinion has changed on him. I'm not exactly sure what direction the Angels can necessarily go from here other than kind of waiting this out, see what happens, and just go from there. So let's dive into our next question. This is from Ruben asking, any qualifying offer candidates for any of the Angels free agents this offseason? You know, coming into this season, it is something that popped up in my head if this was going to be a possibility. The only guy I could really think of was Dylan Bundy. We just talked about him, and I think it's pretty clear now that that's not going to be a thing unless Dylan Bundy just goes on an incredible stretch to end the year. I don't really think there's any other player on this roster that is going to warrant that qualifying offer that's going to be roughly around $18 million. I mean, maybe, and this is a big stretch, Raisel Iglesias, but I'm just not quite sure you're going to see that kind of market for really any relief pitcher. So yeah, I don't know if I don't think I see any of the Angels getting that qualifying offer this offseason. Next question is from Ryan asking, when do we start trading people? Because it feels like the bullpen would be easy to get some solid veterans like Darren O'Day or get Tyler Flowers, who's a sitting duck who provides defense as a backup. This is an interesting question. I do think that the bullpen definitely needs some help. And, you know, it's hard to make these kind of trades in the middle of a season, especially considering how many moving parts the Angels have already had with the bullpen over the last few months. It just makes it that much more difficult when you continue to send guys up and down, bring guys in right before the season. This bullpen is kind of a gigantic mess. And we saw this kind of on full display over the last few days. I mean, we saw it on Wednesday up in Oakland. We saw it at Angel Stadium on Thursday night. I mean, they won 7-5. It was still a big win, but the bullpen did make it very interesting at the end. So, yeah, I am curious to see how this ends up going. As far as finding a backup catcher, I do agree that Kurt Suzuki is probably playing himself out of a job at this point. I'm not sure what he brings to the table other than the fact that he's turned into Shohei Ohtani's personal catcher, which I find to be absolutely hilarious. But quite frankly, if that continues to work out, if that's a tandem that seems to be connecting, then again, I'm not saying I'm a Kurt Suzuki fan. The opposite. I think he's been pretty bad in all facets this year. But if him and Shohei Ohtani are connecting and he's the personal catcher for him, I don't know. It is an interesting point to think about. Next question is from Bucky, asking, if relievers are volatile, can the blame really be on Perry? He has addressed the problem during the offseason and in season, but the bullpen has been well below league average. What more can he do? You know, this is really summed up quite well by Bucky. I do agree that putting bullpens together is one of the more difficult tasks in baseball, because when you think about relievers and their jobs and why they're in the bullpen in the first place, generally, unless it's a rare scenario, guys end up moving to the bullpen because there are some sort of deficiencies in their game that prevents them from being starting pitchers. So whether that is poor command, lack of a second or third pitch, whatever it might be. So I think the problem you see with constructing bullpens is a lot of these guys maybe aren't necessarily predictable over a long-term period. And more to the point, when we're talking about guys over 50 to 60 inning samples, it's not a huge sample, and trying to predict that moving forward is very difficult when you're looking at starting pitchers who are giving you 150 plus innings or so. That is a much larger sample to go off of, whereas a reliever is going to need 2 to 3 years of really strong production to kind of give you an idea of maybe who they are. So this is a good point by Bucky, and I know there is a question later on about the bullpen and kind of how they can go about building it, constructing it, fixing it, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I mean, building bullpens has always been a very tricky thing in baseball because spending money on relievers generally doesn't seem to work out, but at the same time, you don't want to not invest in a bullpen. So it is a tough question. And yeah, Bucky, I'm not quite sure I have the answer for this question. So we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to answer some more questions. But first, let me tell you about Fully Loaded Chew. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free long-cut pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 different flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On team listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to FullyLoadedChew.com and use the promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On for just $1 at FullyLoadedChew.com. So let's move into these questions. We got a lot, so I'm going to try to answer all of these to the best of my ability. Next question is from Goose Gosselin, asking, if the Angels were to make the playoffs, what's the ideal starting 9 and bench? So I would probably say the top of the lineup right now. This is tough because I think once Mike Trout comes back, it is going to be interesting, but I think Justin Upton has pretty well established himself at the top of the lineup. I think you're going to see Shohei Ohtani probably bat second, Mike Trout third, Anthony Rendon maybe fourth. Maybe you put Jared Walsh batting fourth, so one of those guys can bat fifth. So where are we at? We're at Upton, Ohtani, Trout, Walsh, Rendon. After that, it gets a little bit more interesting. I think Stassi has kind of established himself as a pretty darn good hitter, a guy that can hit up in the lineup a little bit more. Taylor Ward is doing a pretty darn good job, so maybe he's your number 7 guy. Maybe Jose Iglesias is in that spot. And then David Fletcher seems to be doing a little bit better at the bottom of the lineup. That's probably a better spot for him at this point. As far as the bench goes, I'm not quite sure. The bench has been changing a lot this year. I'm not sure Kurt Suzuki is going to last the whole season. I'm not exactly sure who's going to be kind of that platoon outfielder with in right field when Mike Trout comes back. So we'll see what happens. I'm not quite sure I have a good idea of where the bench is at moving forward in the season. Next question is from Please Angels, asking, I personally am not a fan of Madden's decision-making and Wise as a pitching coach. Do you think that Perry parts away with either of them after this season if we completely underperform? Very good question. I'd be lying if I said I haven't thought about this before. The only thing that would make me think that Joe Madden probably has a little bit longer of a leash is, one, he's a veteran manager that's been around for a long time and has very significant ties to the Angels organization. And two, the Angels just went through a very similar situation where they fired Brad Ausmus to bring in Joe Madden and are still paying Brad Ausmus after the fact. So I do think they're probably not going to want to pay Joe Madden, who is under contract through next season, but I could be wrong on that. As far as Matt Wise goes, you know, it is a hard thing to evaluate because Mickey Callaway, who has since been fired, was supposed to be the pitching coach. Matt Wise maybe wasn't necessarily viewed as the guy they wanted running the show, but given the circumstances, ended up taking over the role. That's not to say that Matt Wise is a bad coach or he's not the guy for the job, but I'm not sure he was expected to be in this position where he is right now. It is hard to figure out where to place the blame. Do you place it at the very top with Artie Moreno? Do you place it with the GMs? Do you place it with the coaches? I mean, there are a lot of different variables going on, and I don't know exactly where all of the blame goes. So this constant cycling in and out of managers, pitching coaches, all that, it makes it really difficult to kind of figure out where you're supposed to place the blame. And to be quite frank, it's probably all the way around for this team. So that was a lot of words to try to answer this question. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, but I would venture to guess that both guys will be around for next season. So next question is from Super Halo Brothers Podcast. Another fun podcast you guys should check out. A lot of cool Angel stuff. This one's kind of general, but let's say you're Perry and Joe. Move, DFA, trade, bring up any player you want. What moves do you personally make to turn around this team? So this is like the million-dollar question. What would I do if I was in control? And that, I mean, if I was smart enough to be in this position, I think I would have been hired for that. I mean, all jokes aside, I'm not sure. I don't know where the Angels go from here. They are in such a weird position as a franchise where you've got Mike Trout, the best player of this generation, one of the best players of all time, and Shohei Ohtani is literally doing something that's never been done before at the highest possible level, and the Angels are still under 500. I mean, this is not a surprise to anybody that watches the Angels, but it does kind of encapsulate the Angels as a franchise, very top heavy, struggle near the bottom of the roster and really with depth throughout the organization. So if I'm the Angels right now, I'm trying to make the best run at it this year as I possibly can, because we've talked about it before. With the trade deadline this year, you're not going to get that much value back for the guys you trade away because a lot of those guys are not performing. Those guys that are on one-year deals are not going to fetch that much for you at the trade deadline. So if I'm the Angels, if I'm running GM responsibilities, I'm trying my absolute best to just get this team in decent competition. And at the very least, I'm trying to hold on until Mike Trout comes up or is back from injury next month. So that means you have a tough decision to make with someone like Joe Adell, because you look at the major league roster right now, you can clearly improve in center field with Juan Lagares playing there. But in left field, Justin Upton is doing really well. In right field, Taylor Ward is doing pretty well. So you could call up Joe Adell, plug him into center field, and hope that it works well this time. But if it backfires on you, you could see what happened last year where things just escalated, just totally out of control. So Joe Adell's kind of like that X factor for me. If I'm looking at the roster and trying to determine what I would do next, it's really what do you do with Joe Adell, who is clearly proving himself at AAA this year, but moving that up to the major leagues obviously is a different story. So to answer the question, I mean, what would I do to turn this team around? I think a lot of it centers around Joe Adell and just trying to get this pitching staff just to be competent enough for a couple more weeks. And when that happens, when you get Mike Trout back, as you get closer to the trade deadline, then you can kind of evaluate where you're at and maybe they go out and make a few moves. Next question is from Augie, and kind of in the same realm of what we were just talking about. Are we sellers or buyers at the deadline as of right now? So if the Angels were within 5 games of a playoff spot, 5 or 6 games, I think there's an argument to be made that they're buyers, or at the very least, they're kind of in the middle. Maybe they sell a couple of guys, but bring in some guys on long-term deals, something like that. If I was running the show, like this, I guess this goes back to the question before from Super Halo Brothers podcast, I would be buyers this year, unless the Angels find themselves in a really, really bad spot, like they're 10 games out of a playoff spot. Again, I just don't see much value in moving guys at the trade deadline this year, unless you see some of these guys start to turn it around, like Andrew Heaney, Dylan Bundy. I mean, all these guys need to start pitching and performing a little bit better for these guys to actually have value. So as of right now, I'm not quite sure there's a clear answer for that. I would lean towards buyers right now, but that could obviously change in a big way over the next couple weeks. Next question is from Show Season. This offseason, we need both, but do we need to invest more money in starters or the bullpen? I'm definitely going with starting pitching for the reason we mentioned earlier with bullpen volatility. Relievers in general tend to be more unpredictable, and I would much prefer to spend money on starting pitching. That's not to say you can't spend any money on the bullpen, but if I'm talking about where I want to spend more money, definitely starting pitching, and especially considering the class that we have coming up. Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Zach Greinke, Justin Verlander, if he comes back healthy, Kevin Gausman, Marcus Stroman. I mean, there are a lot of interesting options, plenty of money for the Angels to kind of throw around. So I'm definitely looking to get multiple starters in the upcoming class, whether that's free agency or trade. So I'm definitely leaning towards spending money on starters. Next question is from Ulysses asking Joe Maddon why he's committed to a 5-inning formula that's failed over and over, and the record proves it. And he said, hashtag fire Maddon. So I have been decently critical of Joe Maddon. I think there are a lot of things that he does not do well. And I think one of the trigger points for Angels fans is Joe Maddon's propensity to pull starters out before they go through the third time in the order. This is a really hard thing to navigate because the Angels pitching has been bad basically in every possible area over the last handful of seasons. So yes, you could let your starters go a little bit more, but they haven't necessarily proven that they deserve that at this point. Like, I think the perfect example, go back to Wednesday's game, Griffin Canning, 2 runs in 5 innings. Maybe he could have gone out there for a little bit more, but Griffin Canning's also got an ERA over 5 this season. He has not pitched particularly well. And yes, the bullpen has been bad, but a lot of the starters and relievers have been bad this year. Now, that's not to say that Joe Maddon's bullpen management has been good. I think it's been subpar, to be quite honest. I do think there are a lot of things that Joe Maddon is not necessarily doing well, whether that is bullpen management or the way he's shifting this year. But it's hard for me to put all of the blame on him for this 5-inning formula, because if we are going to direct blame towards the ineffective pitching, a lot of that's got to go towards the current GM, Perry Minassian, the prior GMs, Billy Epler, Jerry DePoto. You could go all the way to the top to Artie Moreno. So Joe Maddon is definitely part of the problem with the Angels. I don't think he's all of the major problems for the Angels. So yeah, this is a good question. I understand the frustration. I'm not sure I'm willing to put all of the blame on Joe Maddon. So we're going to move on to our last two questions. First one is from Halo Sizen. How do you think the Angels can realistically fix the bullpen this offseason? So I think I've kind of touched on this a lot in this episode. It, again, really hard to build bullpens. I would definitely spend money on starters more so than the bullpen. But what I think needs to happen is it needs to come down to just finding a philosophy for what you think is going to work for constructing the best bullpen. And maybe that's a very vanilla statement to be made, but for all of Billy Epler's faults that he might have had as a GM, he did do a very good job of putting together bullpens on pretty relatively low cost. I mean, you think about all of the success stories that he had. Hansel Robles, Ty Buttrey, you can go back to Blake Parker, Yusmer Petit. I mean, even a guy like Bud Norris for a little while, he did a really good job of just finding value where other guys or other teams maybe necessarily were not seeing value. And for all of the discussion about Billy Epler being obsessed with finding high spin rate guys, it generally worked out for the most part with a lot of the bullpens that he did. So if I'm Perry Minassian, I'm kind of focusing in on a certain philosophy, trying to find a certain type of pitcher that fits your philosophy. I know I'm kind of going in a couple of different directions here. Something that some of the best teams in baseball are able to do. You look at the Astros, the Dodgers, they're able to kind of zone in on these specific traits that they view as being good. They build an infrastructure to accommodate that and then just bring those guys in. And that's how they churn out all of these really good players. And this is more so an organizational-wide thing the Angels can do, but specifically for the bullpen, go find a specific type of pitcher that you're looking for and try to bring those guys in and let them fit in your system. And that's maybe a very broad strategy for the Angels. I don't have really like any micro additions I want to see them make. I just think from an overall standpoint, they've got to kind of zone in on who they're exactly looking for. And our last question, this is probably one of my favorite questions that I've gotten, and this is from Max of Rocks in the Outfield, and if you're not following them, you definitely need to change that. They're definitely one of the more entertaining follows on Angels Twitter. Full disclosure, I guess I should put an explicit before this question, but it is a fun game that I'm sure many listeners have heard before. It's, again, pardon my language, it's marry, fuck, and kill. Artie Moreno, Perry Minassian, and Joe Maddon. And once I saw this come in, I knew I could not answer. I know this is supposed to be maybe not adult-friendly podcast, but I'm going to go for this anyways. So for marrying, I'm going to go with Perry Minassian because, one, he is the closest in age to me, and two, he's a baseball lifer, and I think those two elements make it a more compatible fit where I can get along with this guy on a day-to-day basis because we're closer in age, we get along well with our love for baseball, and we're going to leave it at that. For going for fuck, I'm going to go with Joe Maddon because, and maybe my logic is off base here, he seems like he'd be a fun guy to be with for a night. He's got kind of the old hippie vibe to him. He's got a lot of old baseball cliches, drives in a van. Maybe it seems kind of cool at first, but I also feel like after maybe you go on the first date with him or something like that, maybe that persona goes away after the first date or so. So yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that. And for our last one, kill Artie Moreno. No question about it. I'm sure if you followed my work, the podcast, my tweets and stuff, you're probably well aware of my disdain for Artie Moreno for a lot of different reasons, mostly because he's a multi-billionaire who has just done some repugnant things over the last few years. On top of that, has done a really bad job of running the Angels organization for the past 10 years or so. So definitely no question about that. Max, thanks for the question. It's always fun to just mix it up a little bit, have some fun on this podcast. I know I generally try to keep it more PG on this podcast, but this was kind of fun. So appreciate the question. So we're going to take our last break of the episode before we get out of here. But let me tell you about Wealthfront. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. Again, that's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to get started today. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors such as raspberry, mint brownie, and double chocolate. But most importantly, Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy or gal. High in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON15, you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So why don't we wrap up today's episode? Big thank you to all of the questions that have come in. I feel like these are progressively getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where these might start need to be, I might have to start doing longer episodes on Fridays, and I'm sure fans don't have an issue with that. So we might need to kind of adjust for that moving forward. So big thank you to everybody. Don't think I have much else for this episode. This was a lot of fun. Very, very good stuff this week. So that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there. Have a great weekend. And we will talk some Angels baseball on Monday.